Hello, and welcome to The Psychonaut Show with Dr. JKB. This is John K. Burton, MD, psychiatrist, psychoanalyst. And on this podcast, your captain on these voyages to explore strange new worlds in inner space. Our mission is to uncover knowledge that will ultimately make us more effective, more connected, and more attractive in our daily lives. In this episode, we are going to be exploring the Oedipus complex. It seems to me like when we say the words the Oedipus complex, it immediately conjures up the stereotype of psychoanalysis of 1950s housewives lying on couches and paying their psychoanalysts gobs of money to talk about their neuroses. It brings up ideas of Sigmund Freud in Vienna and his concepts of penis envy and castration anxiety, which, by the way, we'll probably have an episode on. But at any rate, it seems like kind of something to make fun of or a stereotype. On the other hand, it's a big part of popular culture. Like, everyone knows what it is. People will say, oh, that's so Oedipal, and everyone knows what they mean. But regardless, it kind of seems like a joke, and at least something that's not very relevant. But in this episode, what I want to do is get into it a little bit more and show you how it actually is something that is real and is relevant. So I want to tell you about a real-life example that I witnessed of the Oedipus complex with my yoga teacher, Ralph. And I was doing my yoga teacher training with him up on an ashram in California. And it was a beautiful setting, beautiful day. And his family was there, his wife, Mary, and his little boy, Max, who was about 4 at that time. And we're all sitting around in the beautiful California sun, eating our vegan meals and talking. And Max all of a sudden says, Daddy, and he looks at Ralph with sort of a mischievous look in his eye and says, Daddy, what's your favorite fruit? And Ralph, who's a pretty straightforward guy, said, you know, I like pineapples. Not reading too much into the question, though. I was sort of watching the interaction and saying, like, this is some kind of setup going on. And in fact, then Max turned to his mother, who was busy with the other students and trying to help everybody out, and said, Mommy, what's your favorite fruit? And Mary turned around and she looked at Max and she smiled and she said, oh, I think I like strawberries. And Max immediately lit up and said, Mommy, that is my favorite fruit too. I love strawberries as well. And he kind of gave Ralph this sidelong look like, me and Mommy are over here loving our strawberries and you're over there with your sad little pineapple that I don't want to have anything to do with. And at that point, Ralph did kind of pick up on the hostility and the mischievous that was going on. And he kind of didn't know what to feel. Ralph is a yoga teacher and likes to be very positive, but he wasn't feeling all that sure of what was going on. He was feeling pretty uncomfortable. And in fact, what was going on was the actual first manifestation in Max's life of the Oedipus complex. So what we see in this story of Max and his parents, Ralph and Mary, is the Oedipus complex. In fact, what it is the preference of one parent over another, wanting to have one parent to oneself and get rid of the other one. What's going on is a triangle. It's when the child is first aware that there is a relationship where one person can be excluded and the other two are excluding, and the child wants to be the one excluding, not to be the one that's excluded. Freud really wanted the Oedipus complex to explain all of neurosis, and in fact, strict Freudians always look for where is the Oedipus complex. I think in a more modern, flexible take on psychoanalysis, we think that's probably too rigid, but nevertheless, we think that it's very important. And as you can see with Max, it really happens. Almost any parent of a child of this age, and the age is about 3.5 to 5, that's when the Oedipus complex sort of comes online, if you will tell you that they see this. There's the drive to push one of the parents away. Freud really focused on boys. for which he has been criticized. He did talk about the Oedipus complex of the girl, where she wants to have her father and get rid of her mother, and he called that the Electra complex, based on another Greek myth. Other theorists subsequent to Freud have said, no, the girls have a Persephone complex. And in fact, another theorist tried to apply this to gay boys and said they have an Orestes complex. But basically, the idea is all the same. There is a triangle, and the idea that one person can be excluded, and the child definitely doesn't want to be the one that is excluded. I will tell you that I actually had an adult patient, and we talked about his experience of wanting to, remembered from his childhood, kind of side with his mother and, you know, be annoyed with his father and get rid of him. And this actually, understanding this helped him to look at some of the patterns he had in his life as an adult and have better perspective on them. So being aware of this really can be useful. So we talk about the Oedipus complex, but what are we really talking about? Let's go back to the Greek myth and really think about what Freud was drawing on, because he named this complex after the Greek myth because he felt that it was universal, that this myth was a myth because it explains something that we all feel all the time. So the myth was this, that the queen and king of Thebes, the queen was Jocasta, the king was Laius, they had a baby, named him Oedipus. And that's actually not true. They didn't name him Oedipus. Oedipus means bound feet, and that comes later in the myth, but that's not important at this point. What they did was they had the baby, and they took him to the oracle at Delphi to find out what his fate was. And they found out, the oracle said this, he's going to grow up to kill his father and marry his mother. Horrifying. Can't even imagine something worse. But this is going kind of back to the return of the repressed. When you find out this thing that makes you so uncomfortable, and what could be more uncomfortable than murder and incest, bad, the thing that you do to avoid that is the thing that brings it back again, even worse. So what'd they do? They gave the baby to a shepherd to leave in the woods to be eaten by wild animals. Instead of leaving him in the woods, the shepherd couldn't bear to do that and took him to another king and queen, this time Corinth, where the king and queen of Corinth raised the baby Oedipus to manhood as their own. Oedipus went to the oracle again and found out the exact same fate. You're going to kill your father and marry your mother. He's horrified again. Again, he does the thing to avoid what he is afraid of, what makes him uncomfortable, which makes the actual fate come back even worse. He leaves Corinth, travels on the road, meets his real father, not knowing it's his real father, gets into a scuffle with him on the road and kills him, enters Thebes, marries his mother, the fate comes true. If they had all just stayed put to begin with, none of this would ever have happened. But the point of this myth and why Freud used it so strongly and importantly is that it is absolutely getting rid, there's hostility towards one parent, in this case the father, and in order to have the other parent, the mother, all to oneself. That is the archetype that we see when these little kids want to get rid of one parent and have the other parent all to themselves. That's why he called it the Oedipus complex. So what I hope you can see here is that the Oedipus complex actually is useful and relevant to think about in our life now. Going back to Freud, he really, really wanted to have a theory of human psychology that would explain everything. He was of his era, he was a Victorian, and he felt like he could explain everything. And he felt that he had discovered it with the Oedipus complex, that all psychoanalysis needed to get back to what was the patient's Oedipus complex. When you understood that, problem solved. Well, nowadays, we don't hold it quite so centrally. We don't actually think in our postmodern world that things are ever that simple. But nevertheless, knowing about this can be very useful. What does it have to do with? Sometimes it is very specific. I want to get rid of my father and I wanted to have my mother. And I feel terrible that I can't have my mother, and that causes my problems with women. Or it may be more about the idea of the triangle. And theorists subsequent to Freud, most specifically the Neo-Kleinians, really focused on the role that this triangulation has. It is the first time, because of cognitive developments in the child around the age of 3.5 or 4, that the child is first able to think about threesomes, that two can get together and exclude a third. It also has to do with competition. I want to beat someone else. And the flip side of that is the awareness that I can be beaten. I can be excluded, which creates anxiety and fear. It's the first awareness that this kind of thing can happen. It creates an anxiety and a fear, and it motivates much of things that we do. So what is the advice here? Well, if you're a parent, especially if you're a dad, like Ralph, if it comes at you and you're a mom, same thing. If you feel like your child is favoring your spouse over you and you're feeling excluded, and because we all have been little kids and we've all felt excluded, it can stir up a lot of feelings. What you need to realize is this kid isn't just being nasty with you. He or she is not being a brat. You don't need to kind of like tell him he needs to be nice or whatever. You need to remember that he, or again, girl, she, is using you. This is a normal developmental phase. Again, the phase of triangles, awareness for the very first time of competition. And the little kid is not knowing how to play in this world of competition. He's aware that he's small and powerless, and he is very uncomfortable with that. So your job is to play along and let him negotiate this incredible dilemma in the way that is best for himself, and allow him to tolerate feeling small and powerless, and hope that he can grow up to be big and strong like you. If you're an adult, the advice is be aware that we have this in all of us, and that when we are in triangular situations, it stirs up all kinds of feelings. And if we can pay attention to that and see, how am I feeling when I'm feeling excluded, or how am I feeling when I'm winning and I'm excluding someone else, and think back about our own childhoods, it can help us put all of that in perspective. This is Dr. JKB signing off. Since we are exploring together, you make the journey all the richer by subscribing to the show on iTunes. And even better, if you also leave a rating, it helps others to find us. If you have a story about how the concept in this episode helped you figure out something in your life, send it in, please. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter at Psychonaut Show. Show notes are on the website, thepsychonautshow.com. And if you leave me a question, it may well be an inspiration for an upcoming episode. Until our next trip, judge nothing, question everything, and remember, there's always a reason. Bye for now. The Psychonaut Show was created and produced by yours truly, John Burton. Art and web design by Hunter Creative. Post-production and sound design by Julio Gonzalez of Zimmer Media. Zimmer Media can be found online at zimmer.co. That's X-I-M-E-R.co.